The RTE Rugby Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the RTE Rugby Podcast. I'm Michael Corcoran. I'm in Wellington ahead of the second test between the All Blacks and the British and Irish Lions on Saturday. It's 1-0 to New Zealand in the series. Both teams have been confirmed for the game. For the home side, Israel Dagg slots in at fullback ahead of Ben Smith, who's been ruled out of the rest of the series as he recovers from concussion. Waisaki Naholo is named on the right wing, with Anton Leonard-Brown in the centre alongside Sonny Bill Williams. The good performance of Nani Lomope during the course of the week for the Hurricanes has been rewarded. He is named on the bench. While the Lions coach Warren Gatland has changed his approach completely to the game, last week's captain Peter O'Mahony is out of the match day 23. Jonathan Sexton starts at 10, Owen Farrell moves to 12, Marwa Toje partners Alan Wynne-Jones in the second row with Sam Warburton in the back row alongside Sean O'Brien and Talupe Faletau. Courtney Law, CJ Stander and Jack Knoll are all named on the bench. The Lions team has Liam Williams at fullback, Anthony Watson and Elliot Daly on the wings, Jonathan Davis and Owen Farrell in the centre. It's Conor Murray and Johnny Sexton at halfback, a front row of Maku Vunipola, Jamie George and Tadhg Furlong, Marwa Toje and Alan Wynne-Jones in the second row, with Sam Warburton, Sean O'Brien and Talupe Faletau in the back row. Ken Owens, Jack McGrath, Kyle Singler, Courtney Laws, CJ Stander, Reese Webb, Ben Teo and Jack Knoll are all named on the bench. Well, shortly we'll hear the thoughts of both coaches. Initially, the Lions head coach, Warren Gatland.
Look, it's a tough call. I mean, you've done that. I mean, we looked at that and we felt it was an opportunity to bring Sam in, and obviously Mario Toje came off the bench and made an impact. We thought Sam Warburton had did the same last week, and we need to get some pressure on the ball and get bodies on the ball, and it's something that Sam's excellent at doing. He's got some rugby under his belt, and look, we could have put Peter on the bench, and we had a long discussion about that. But at the end of the day, we felt someone like CJ has had an outstanding Six Nations and good the other night, and his carries, his physicality coming on, you know, the impact he's able to bring off the bench could be significant. And look, Peter's been very unlucky. He's done a great job for us in terms of the games that he's been involved with and captaincy. And, you know, we do have the luxury and lucky enough that we've got choices and we can make changes and use different combinations too. You know, all we can ask from the players is, you know, to train well and have an attitude. And you know, in fairness to the All Blacks, they played exceptionally well against us. Look, they were very direct in the way they played. Probably played a bit of Warren ball in the way they played, didn't they? So, whatever that is. We're aware of how physical they were as well, and so we've got to match that physicality on Saturday night because, in fairness to them, they were excellent. They deserved their win. We were pretty happy. We played some good rugby, and we did stress them and put them under pressure. We've just got to make sure that we keep the ball for longer periods.
Warren, what has to be different this week from your point of view?
From our point of view, different is we've got to stop the momentum off nine. If they do come hard off nine, that's going to be an issue for us, making sure that we do that. And we've worked pretty hard this week. But look, the All Blacks may come with a different plan. They may come to throw the ball around. They may come with a plan to kick the ball a bit more. And we've got to be ready for that. The changes up in that. Discipline is a key for us, you know, making sure that we don't give away soft, unnecessary penalties. There was two or three last week in which changed the momentum and it's changed the momentum of the game. We saw that against the Hurricanes, you know, again on Tuesday night. A couple of soft penalties, but which were pretty costly for us in the second half. So, and, you know, I've said all along, we've got to be more physical up front, and players are aware of that, and we've spoken about that as a group.
Will you have to be more switched on, for want of a better phrase, in the opening 15, 20 minutes, because you've coughed up some points in a lot of key games in that period of time?
I think we've been pretty good there. I think, you know, disappointing that Aaron Smith's been able to take a quick, or not really, it wasn't even a quick tap. He's been able to tap the ball and catch us out, and we've been caught there, and, you know, we've got to stay alive and be accurate as much as we possibly can, and make sure we don't get caught in those situations. You know, a couple of lucky tries from their point of view in terms of the bounce. Obviously, they've put us under pressure with a scrum penalty. So we worked hard on our scrum this weekend and making sure that that's strong for 80 minutes. We thought our line out was excellent. We put their line out under some pressure. And there were times where we've identified where we've created chances. We just needed to put the ball through our hands. And so we've created chances. We've created three on twos. So just making sure we execute those chances.
And given the experience of last week and the changes that you've made this week, do you think that you're in a better position to cope with what New Zealand may throw at you on Saturday night?
I think so. I think for those players that experience that, it's not going to be a shock for them in terms of, they bought a physicality. And I can understand four of the tight five were involved against us for the Crusaders. They were probably pretty pumped up and disappointed about losing against the Crusaders. So sometimes you get pretty motivated about a loss, and it does spur you on for the next game, and I thought their tight five were excellent, and it's a big challenge for our tight five to match that and to step up also. We're pretty well aware of the big challenge that's ahead of us. I thought it was interesting talking to the referee, who said to me, that for him as a referee, that was a huge step up from anything he'd done in terms of Bledisloe Cup or Championship rugby. So, he just thought there was another level in terms of the pace and intensity of the game. But so we've experienced that as a group of players, and we should cope better with that on Saturday.
And earlier, the New Zealand coach Steve Hansen spoke to the media, and he addressed the issue of Warren Gatland being depicted as a clown in the New Zealand Herald during the course of this week.
I think it's really disappointing. It's one thing to have a bit of banter and then you guys beef that up to make it bigger than it really is. Like I've heard you say, that I don't like him, and we won't have a beer. Look, I've got a lot of respect for him. I think he's a good coach. I've got a lot of respect for the Lions, and they're a good team. So, but to come out and do that, I think is you're ridiculing somebody that doesn't deserve it. And at the end of the day, we're all coaches trying to do what we think's right. Sometimes people don't always agree with what we do. But that's okay, you're allowed to have your opinion too, but to ridicule someone's not right, so a bit disappointing really. You guys feed it, so you'll choose to do whatever you want with it. But at the end of the day, it's about two teams playing a test match. Last test was a beauty, and with a little bit more luck and a little bit more finish, they could have easily won the test match. They know that, and they'll be coming here with a do or die attitude, and we got a front up Saturday. It's okay doing it once. We've got to do it again. So it's going to be real hands to the pump, so to speak, and everyone's going to have to step up. And if we don't step up, we'll get second. A lot of what we do is based on what the opposition will do. Just, in fact, everything in attack. It's a principle I learned a long time ago as a young player off my father. The opposition give you all the options from what they do on defence, and that hasn't changed. So whatever team they pick is a small part of that. So how they use that team to defend and what type of defence they use will depend on what we do. And we can't, again, we use the ABCs. We can assume some things, believe nothing. And then when we get out there, we'll confirm it. And we've got to play what's in front of us and play that well. We're determined to win all the time. And I think if that's what you're saying, then I'm sure that's definitely will be the mental state they're in. They'll be determined to win, and they've said that. I said that already. And you wouldn't expect anything else from them, because quality teams don't lie down. They stand up and they get counted. And losing hurts. It sucks. It's not a great idea. And it comes with a lot of pain. So you don't want to do it, and especially when you're a quality team, and because you're not used to it, and you don't want it. So, as I said, I think they'll come with everything they've got, and we need to be prepared for that and bring everything we've got to match it.
One man who's eager to return to action this week is the Lions captain, Sam Warburton.
I'm delighted with the selection for this week. It's probably the most nervous I've been going into a team selection meeting this week. Really didn't know what was going to happen. I thought some guys played absolutely brilliantly on Tuesday. We could have come straight into the test team, which we saw happened last week. So I was very nervous about the selection for this week and which direction they were going to go. But absolutely delighted that I'm starting in the Test series.
And as a player, how do you deal with that emotion, given the contrast of last week and where you are right now today, sitting in front of us?
I always think things happen for a reason. I was chatting to my when I chat to my parents or my wife, and they were saying, "What do you think is going to happen?" I try not to think about it, but I just sort of say, I think things happen for a reason. If I deserve it, I'll get picked. If I don't, I won't, and I'll just get on with it. I've never been the sort of player to not get selected and go and question it to the coaches. They haven't picked you for a reason, so I just keep my head down, keep working hard, and hopefully I'll get my chance, So that's just the way I look at team selection, really. So, I was nervous about it, but if I wasn't going to be picked, I would have accepted it.
So three games in the series, one gone, you're 1-0 down. I mean, the pressure really is on the Lions to perform this Saturday.
Yeah, similar to guys have been through that before, in Six Nations matches. You don't really get it in the autumn or summer series, but in competitions in Six Nations, there's lots of games. I've gone into, from a Welsh perspective, if you lose this one, you're going to be out of title contention. So guys have all been through that before with their national teams, and went through it 4 years ago in the third test against Australia. And so guys are used to that pressure, and it's nice, you're doing the team session today and you see the group of 23, and it's such a classy group of players, and those guys can take a lot of pressure and it won't faze them, So we've got a very good team, very experienced side, and they'll be able to deal with anything that gets thrown at them this Saturday.
And because it's game two, do you have to have a certain switch in mindset, given the fact that it's the same, you played the same country last week?
Yeah, no, you always treat it as must win, so I wouldn't say that we'll be more motivated this week than we were last week. Every time you put a Lions jersey on, you treat it like it's going to be your last one. But it is a little bit different that we know the Test series would be over if you lose, and you really don't want that to happen. We definitely want to take it to a deciding match, and I'm sure all Lions fans and neutrals would like to see that happen and make it a more entertaining Test series. But you definitely don't want to be down 2-0. That would be very disappointing for most of the group of players. Be easy to get again, to pick yourself up for the week after, as it always is for a test match for the Lions, but desperate to make it 1-1 this weekend. I think the messages have been quite clear from last Saturday what we've got to do. Discipline and penalty count has got to be in single figures, and we've got to improve our all-round game when it comes from a physicality point of view, when it comes to breakdown, line-out, scrum. New Zealand were excellent last Saturday, and that's one aspect that we definitely got to pick up. But you give away penalties because New Zealand exerted pressure on us, and they played extremely well and put us under a lot of pressure. So it's managing and handling that pressure a lot better than we did last Saturday. A lot easier said than done, but I think they're going to be two clear messages going forward for us on Saturday. It's the first time I played with Sean, which I'm really looking forward to. I've played against him for the last 8 years now or whatever, and been in two Lions squads together, but I've never played with him. To start, to come off the bench, but I've never started a game with him. I'm really looking forward to that because Sean's one of the best sevens that I've played against my whole career. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that partnership goes. But I do more of the line-out stuff, and Sean, he's not in the line-out so much. So at set piece time, it's a little bit more six and seven. But when it's open play, we'll both just have our seven hats on and go hard, yeah.
That was the Lions captain Sam Warburton there. Well, New Zealand's second row Sam Whitelock has been chatting to Nigel Yeldon about the areas that they need to improve ahead of Saturday's second test.
Obviously, our lineout probably wavered a little bit, especially towards the latter part of the game, which traditionally has been one of our strengths. So making sure we have a good look at it, have a really good system in place, and make sure it's better this one coming, because you've got to have the ball to attack, and it makes it hard when you're not winning your own ball.
I know the pride you take in the line out. That one really stung, didn't it?
Yeah, it stung everyone, and I think it's great that it did, whether you're a front rower all the way through to a loosey. So it's something that we're always working on, and the beauty was we knew it wasn't good enough, and we've got another week to sort it out.
So what is going to be the key then as you look ahead to the second test on Saturday night? The main areas, you talk about the line out, what else do you want to improve on what looked like a pretty complete performance?
Yeah, the line out's the main one. Obviously playing our game too, so making sure that we look at it from our perspective first, and things that we can control. So that's the major one. And then all our individual skills going forward. If we can do that, hopefully it gives ourselves a great opportunity to go out there and perform really well, and the benefit being winning.
How do you guys prepare for what the opposition might do? Is it sitting down and brainstorming, they might do this, they might do that? Is it Steve, Wayne and Ian saying this is where we think they're going to go? How does that process work?
Part of it's on the coaches and management. They'll look at our game and our systems and go, oh, there might be a kink in the armour here, and this is where they would attack us. So part of that is the management, but then also as players, you can feel it out there. You know where the cracks are, so we've got to make sure we are prepared. And just sometimes it's a little conversation, walking down the hallway, making sure that people are aware of what you think and what they're thinking too.
Obviously, Ben is a significant loss. He is the vice-captain. Does that put extra pressure on yourself as a member of the leadership group, maybe to be a little bit more vocal than usual on Saturday night?
Yeah, Bender's a world-class player, and he's been playing at that level for a very, very long time, and is always going to be deeply missed. But in saying that, it gives other guys an opportunity to play. So, you know, Izzy's been unreal so far this year with us and the Crusaders with his leadership, and it probably just allows everyone to take on a little bit more of a role. But it's not on one person; it's on everyone to step up and dominate your area, whether that be attack, D, scrum, line out, and all the different areas that each of us lead.
A lot of people watching you believe that you have improved since assuming the captaincy of the Crusaders. Do you believe that that has helped you go up and find another level in your game?
Yeah, I think it is. It's something that I never set out to be a captain or anything, but it's something I've probably fallen into a little bit more than I thought I would have. I've really enjoyed the challenge of trying to get the best out of myself and other players. So I've definitely enjoyed the experience so far and looking forward to improving on those areas that so far I've managed to work on.
My final question is around your locking partner. How much better do you think Brodie Retallick could be?
Yeah, I think he touched on before, he's got a few things he's working on, and that's just Brodie. He's never happy with where his game is at. He's always looking to improve, whether it's on-field, off-field, or anything. So I think that ability for himself to sit down and have a really hard conversation, whether it with other forwards or the coaching staff, to keep pushing and improving, and that's great for everyone on the team if Brodie goes out there and plays really well, but he's still looking to improve. It definitely helps all of us to do the same.
That's Sam Whitelock there. Well, the New Zealand journalist and broadcaster Jim Kays has been chatting to me during the course of this week ahead of the test on Saturday night.
Yeah, I lived here for a long time, almost 17, 18 years. It's been fantastic to be back, fantastic to see this red wave roll into town of supporters for the Lions. It's really invigorated the town, and I think you saw with the Hurricanes game, it kind of gave a great example to the local supporters of how you can be at a stadium. You know, it would have been impossible to have been at that game and not been caught up by the sheer passion of the people in the ground. It was a wonderful rugby occasion.
It was as if there were two battles going on, one in the stadium, one on the pitch and one off the pitch.
Yeah, and I'm not sure who won the one off the pitch. There's a lot of red jerseys and red raincoats and those sorts of things in the stand. Look, it was great, and it's been great. It was great in the first test as well. It's always fantastic. I think back to 2005, when the Lions supporters rolled into town as well. There's anywhere between 20,000 and 30,000 people have come from Ireland and Britain to be here, and you're all very welcome. Keep spending your money.
We're trying our best. Listen to me. Am I right in saying that I think New Zealand has kind of slowly warmed to the entire Lions thing, if you know what I mean, this time around? I mean, after the first scratchy performance, which seems like months ago at this stage.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that first performance, people sort of stood back and said, ooh, okay, what do we got here? And then they improved a little bit, and then they lost to the Blues, and you sort of went, okay, this is not that flash. Then they improved and beat the Crusaders, and then they lost to the Highlanders. So it's sort of been a little bit up and down. But I think even though the Lions lost that test match at Eden Park, most New Zealand rugby fans, or I'd hope that all New Zealand rugby fans, would have walked away from that game saying that was a cracking game of rugby, and it takes two teams to make a cracking game of rugby. The Lions were very good. Not good enough, but they were very good in that test match. And I think they surprised a lot of people with the way that they played.
I met Ian McGeachan, not name dropping, but I met him on the Sunday morning and he said to me that was a proper test for at least 60 minutes.
It was probably a proper, yeah, look, 60, maybe 70. I mean, it took a while for the All Blacks to break the lines down, and that's what you want in a test match, isn't it? You want to go into it not knowing who's going to win. You want to see a contrast in styles, which is what we had, perhaps not the contrast in styles that we thought we were going to get, and you want to see one team work the other team out, work out how they're going to break them down. It'll take a while to do that, and that's what you saw. And you saw great tries. I mean, Sean O'Brien's try was magnificent. That's one of the best tries you'll see in test match rugby anywhere. Rico Ioane scored two wonderful tries. The second one, I think Elliot Daly's still trying to catch up to him. So, it was a fantastic game of footy. Fantastic game.
In terms of, you know, some of the stuff that's gone on in the media, which kind of takes some people a little bit by surprise, maybe we're not used to, is it a Kiwi sense of humour or what is it?
Oh, I think there's been a lot of tosh written and said, about the Lions and about, I don't know, styles of play and all of these sorts of things. You know, teams can play however they like. The All Blacks used to play a very slow, 10-man orientated game of rugby. They don't now because they've got athletes that reflect a different style of play. But I think there's an appreciation of the Lions being a very good rugby team. And also, I think their midweek team has grown in stature too. We knew the test team was going to be good, but when the midweek team lost two games on the bounce, you sort of thought, okay, there's a real A and B side here. They played well against a pretty average Chiefs team and won that game. And then that draw against the Hurricanes was a good game of footy. So, you know, I think there's considerable respect for the Lions. But as always the case, New Zealand rugby fans will go into the test match expecting the All Blacks to win.
There's been a lot of chat about Lions tourism, whether they're of any value or should they be cut back or otherwise, but I tend to go the other way. I say, you know, everybody says the Lions are getting better the longer they're here. Why not make it five?
Well, if you're going to name drop, I'll name drop. And I was talking to Sir Graham Henry, and he said to me, whatever they do with the rugby calendar, the first thing they need to write down is Lions tour and work everything else around that. Mm. We know it's unique. It only comes to New Zealand every 12 years. It only tours every 4 years. I'm with you, mate. I think they should extend the tour, make it longer, give them more time to do it. And the challenge is there for other teams to do tours as well. You know, New Zealand, they go away every year. They only play four test matches. Munster 2008 was one of the best games of rugby I've been to. Not so much for what happened on the field, but for the occasion. There's no excuse for the All Blacks not to do that more often. They've got the money, they've got the players, they've got the depth of talent that they can take away that's been evident throughout the last couple of weeks. So if the Lions can come here and play midweek games, why can't the All Blacks do the same? They've got to toughen up and do it.
They've got the drawing power as well, haven't they? I mean, that's the reality. I mean, they're looking to try and build up a fund in terms of money. I mean, surely by playing more matches, fitting more games in, particularly midweek games, that must be the way to go ahead.
Oh, you would think so, wouldn't you? Because the other games, they don't get any gate takings from. So they play at Twickenham and it's 80,000 people turn up at Twickenham and the All Blacks don't get a cent from it. They play at Toman Park or they go to Leinster or they go to wherever it might be, you know, they'll get a return on that gate. So it makes sense to me. And it develops other players. You know, when they play the Barbarians game, one of the reasons they like playing the Barbarians is because it gives them an opportunity to bring some younger guys through. So, you know, for instance, you might see Akira Ioane, Rico Ioane's younger brother, playing for the All Blacks against the Barbars at the end of this year. That's a perfect opportunity. Likewise, if they were to play a few provincial teams out of Ireland or Wales or Scotland or wherever they're going this year, there's another opportunity to develop players. So it just seems to be a win-win.
In terms of the second test this coming weekend, and we'll be specific about this now, traditionally what happens in a tour like this is that the home team gets better and the away team dips. Are you expecting something similar?
I'm certainly expecting the All Blacks to get better. So if the All Blacks are going to get better, then the Lions will have to get better, even more better than them. So let's say the All Blacks go up by 20%, the Lions will have to go up by 30%. I don't know whether they can. I don't know whether they've got that in them. So if you look at it from that perspective, you'd say that the All Blacks are raging favourites to win it. They certainly improve in these June tests. We've always seen that. They get better in the June tests. I'd expect them to be better than they were at Eden Park. And unfortunately for the Lions, I think that means they'll be better than the Lions again.
That was Jim Kays there. A reminder, you can hear the game live on RTE Radio 1. All wavelengths this coming Saturday from just after 8 o'clock. From me, Michael Corcoran, thanks for downloading and listening, and talk to you again soon.